Lindsay, Harmon. Lindsay, Annie. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. November 2, 1899. Dear Brother Harmon and Sister Annie Lindsay, I heard yesterday that the mail for Africa leaves today. We have been moving our goods to Maitland for the camp meeting. I have been overworked and have had an illness from which I am now recovering. John Wessels writes me that the large place in Thurimura is secured. This is only 11 miles from Sydney by the shortest route. By another line, it is 15 miles. The matter is settled in regard to this place. Do you remember riding from Granville to Pennant Hills? Do you remember when we halted upon elevated ground and looked off over the vineyards and orchards and the water beyond, how beautiful the scenery was? Well, the place we have bought is near that upland. I am pleased with the location. We had two places in view, but after looking at the first, which was very desirable, we found that it had some drawbacks. A road had been surveyed through the land, and we did not want any land cut up by roads. There were other complications. A poor brother had just taken the place, for a low rent, that he might have the benefit of the fruit in the 13 acres of orchard. This orchard has been neglected. Had we taken the land, we would have been obliged to replace half the trees. John Wessels kept searching till he found the place we have bought. The owner wished to sell out and go to England. In this tract there is 75 acres, at £8 less per acre than the first place. When the brethren saw the first place, they said, "Do not look any further, this is the place." But John said, "Do not be too hasty in making a decision." When he took them to the second place, and they saw the advantages it possessed over the first, its 15 acres of orchard, bearing abundantly all kinds of fruit, a neat little cottage of 4 rooms, and woodland, all decided that it would be wise to purchase this place. W.C. White was with the company, and Brother John said to him, "Sister White must see this place." So last week we again went land viewing, with Elder Daniels, Brother Sharp, and W.C. White. We all decided that the last place found was far preferable to the first site. Yesterday, John wrote us a letter stating that the bargain was closed. We now breathe freely. We feared there might be some impediment, but the business is now settled. We have prayed much over the matter, and we believe that the Lord has directed. A family is now occupying the house, but they will give us possession in 2 weeks from the time that we give notice to the vendor. The trees in the orchard are full of fruit of all kinds. The old trees that were not bearing have been removed, and new trees set out. This is a good thing, for we will not have to spend much money on the orchard. It is a great advantage to have a place where the fruit can be gathered fresh from the trees, and plenty of it. This is a positive necessity for health reformers. There are 9 more acres of orchard cut off from the main orchard. This piece of land has been purchased by some man, who, John says, will sell it for £700. In his letter yesterday, John said he was going to settle the question. We must have that orchard. All that divides it from the main orchard is a shoal ditch, made like a deep furrow. There is no fence between. It is essential that we have this 9 acres, even if the owner will not make better terms. There are those connected with the sanitarium who must have homes separate from the building. They will want to secure land on which to build cottages. It will not answer for buildings to be crowded close to the sanitarium, for there is always trouble when the families are too near. I am pleased with this purchase. I can now see our way out of the woods. The Lord has led and guided us. Shall I not believe it? We have asked Him most earnestly to designate the place for the location of our sanitarium, and this place answers to the description of the place specified to me. Here there is something to engage the attention of invalids and give them a guarantee against indolence and superficial attainments. There is great danger of men of good qualifications falling into habits of mental lethargy and being content with superficial attainments. Here we shall have plenty of opportunity. This danger is proportionately increased by the lack of incentives to a wise and faithful discharge of the God-given duties which lie directly in the path. It is the work of every human being who has reasoning faculties to make a wise improvement of the talents God has given. The Lord is keeping before me the great work to be done in making earnest, determined efforts to save the souls of those who are ready to perish. We have no right to be inattentive and slothful. Improve, improve. Work to reach the highest standard of improvement. We are to press our way into new fields and create interests where none now exist. We need to be filled with enthusiasm upon this, the greatest subject that has ever been brought before the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Press forward and upward, my brother and sister. Do not, dear Sister Annie, lose any opportunity to acquire a knowledge of how to train your little ones, that they may become members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. This is the mother's work. No other can supply her place. You have capabilities, my sister. Feel your accountability to God to train your children for eternal life. You do not need the excitement of theaters and plays to while away your time. You have a character to form after the divine similitude. If you will believe with all your heart, you will be worked by the Holy Spirit. Then you will never hunger for cheap, earthly amusement. The grace of God will be your helper, your strength. God loves Annie Wessels Lindsay, and he wants her to wear a crown of immortal glory in the kingdom of heaven. He wants her to teach her children to find Jesus. The story is often to be repeated from the mother's lips, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, and there a little. The Lord has instructed me to say to you that as a mother, you are to be a wise, patient, kind steward. You have a sacred work to do in bringing up these little ones in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have mental powers, but they have not been trained as God would have them trained. The girls have come for this letter. I want it copied, for I fear you will not be able to read my writing. God bless you and save you with his grace is the prayer of one who loves you.